This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning. This is the Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. We're shifting our attention to something close to Malaysian hearts, namely our stomachs. And by this, we mean the food and beverage industry.
Theoretically, it is, because the stomach is just below the heart, isn't it?
Okay.
Indeed, I was speaking literally and figuratively
as well.
Well done, Philip.
But can I ask, have you guys resumed going out to eat with friends and family again? Or are you still resorting to only takeaways? What's been your routine? Like?
Well, I have gone back to restaurants, but I think I have tried to be a little bit more careful. I've chosen places where there's a bit more ventilation. And my new habit, I eat super early before the crowds arrive.
Oh, that's a good point. I also eat much earlier and I always like outdoor eating.
So you are returning back to the restaurants.
Slowly.
And it's clear that F&B outlets have faced unprecedented months of closures and restricted operations during the pandemic. We're seeing restrictions ease and customers return, but at the same time, they still face challenges like rising costs and manpower shortages. So the question we're asking this morning is, will 2022 be a better year for F&B, or are the times still going to be tough for our restaurateurs? So to help us answer that question, we have on the line Jeremy Lim, Vice President of Persatuan Pemilik Restoran dan Bistro. Jeremy, good morning. Happy New Year and thanks for joining us. Now, as the festive season has just passed, give us a sense on the ground of how the recovery for the restaurant business has been like.
Hi, good morning, guys. Happy New Year. Thanks for having me. Typically, the last quarter of the year has always been quite favorable to the F&B industry. I won't go as far as to say that there has been a recovery, but definitely... Most restaurants actually saw some level of improvement versus the previous quarters. From our observation, I think many consumers are still cautious and they continue to be cautious of COVID-19 and all the variants of concerns. But I think people are beginning to adapt to the new norm. And I think everyone just wants some level of normalcy returned to their day-to-day lives.
But we keep hearing about inflation, and related to that, of course, is food price increases. I mean, not helped by the recent floods domestically, and of course, globally, we have supply chain shortages. I just want to know, from a business perspective, how much has costs risen on a year-to-date basis, and can you pass on this cost to consumers?
Okay. yes, definitely. Prices of raw material has increased since March 2020. And the thing is, the reason, the rate and the speed of the price increase varies, right? It could be driven by currency exchange or global supply and demand issues or increased logistic costs, right? But I think from our observation, probably the most significant increase has been things like eggs, chicken, duck. And we're talking about like 20%, upwards of 20% in terms of increase. Imported meats and dairy products seen marginal increases that's in line with probably the national inflation number, 3-5%. Vegetables is probably one of the most inconsistent in terms of supply and fluctuating prices. In fact, I'm having troubles trying to locate portobello mushrooms, right? our association having engaged with various operators, I think by and large, everyone will try to hold their price until the consumer sentiments kind of improve. Even if there is a price increase now, I don't think it's going to be significant.
Well, you know, I tried to go to Five Guys yesterday and you ran out of milkshakes because there wasn't enough milk, actually. But, you know, besides the supply of materials, there is an issue on service, isn't it? And a function of this issue on service is a shortage of workers. How serious is the issue?
I mean, Philip, to be honest, the situation is pretty dire, man. Let me explain, okay? At the peak of the lockdowns or at the start of the MCOs, a lot of businesses, we didn't know much about what was going on, what COVID-19 was, or how long the lockdowns would last. So many establishments actually went into a hibernation mode, or what we call a hiatus, right? So effectively, all the employees were placed on a no-pay leave scheme. So what happened in turn is these employees had to eat, right? And so they turned to other forms of employment. I mean, be it a contractual job, or be it being delivery riders or even setting up their own small businesses. So the F&B industry just reopened at the end of August 2021. I mean, and officially opened last time lockdown, right? That was what the government promised us. But many of our people are still in their alternative jobs. And they are fearful to return just in case there is another lockdown that happens and everyone's left out in the lurch again. Now, I think the government actually need to recognize that there is some room for improvement and to reinstill confidence back into the markets. Related ministries really need to step up and start looking into business needs and help rejuvenate the economy, man. And the other thing is, for restaurants like Mamat's that are more reliant on foreign workers, what I understand is that there's been a cabinet committee that's formed, but, you know, they have yet to unveil the process of hiring foreign help. So everything is kind of on standstill on that front. Letters have been sent, Zoom meetings have been had. Still, there's inaction. I don't understand why. What more do the ministry need businesses to do? You know, that's the perennial question. There is also, the funny thing is that there's also a portion of legal foreign workers that was on home leave prior to March 2020. So prior to the lockdown, with their contractual obligation, they could return home for a vacation, right? And March 2020 came, the borders were locked down. They have been stranded in their home country since the start of the pandemic, basically.
Mm.
So now, 2 years have passed, you know, their permits have expired. But from what I understand, the process to re-employ these workers is extremely complicated and it's actually costlier versus pre-pandemic times.
I see. You paint a very dire picture, as you said, about the labor shortages. I'm wondering, Jeremy, because if we look at other countries in the world, we see that their restaurant business is also struggling with labor shortages. They're actually looking to increase pay in order to attract more workers. Is that something that local establishments here are considering, or are margins just too tight to allow for a pay increase?
I think it goes case-to-case basis. Certain restaurants I've seen purely based on engagement and observation, they have actually increased the entry rate for service staff or for kitchen crews. But still, you know, they find it extremely difficult to engage with new entrants into the industry. Simply to the earlier point that I made, people are fearful. You know, they come into this industry and again, you know, this industry is thankless, right? They come into this industry, and if the government issues any kind of policy or any kind of circular or mandate and the industry locks down again, you know, what's going to happen to their careers, right? So everyone's kind of taking a more cautious approach when entering or re-entering into the F&B industry. I think money is a factor. Mm-hmm. Margins are a factor, but it is not the ultimate factor.
Okay, so Jeremy, I'm curious, what is your outlook on the F&B industry for this year then?
I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic and hopeful for the industry, naturally. but, you know, we are a pretty resilient sector. You know, all we really need is a reasonable and practical government, and the industry will thrive, right? Government of the day needs to engage with its businesses, lah. Come out with practical and logical solutions together and come out with these solutions quickly.
Right, just a quick one then. Tell me, what are the interesting trends and formats you expect for next year? Presumably involves portobello mushrooms.
I mean, I wish I have a crystal ball, and then I'll be balling and I'll be rich. I reckon things like the delivery platforms and cloud kitchens is a mainstay. You know, then restaurants really need to figure out how to work that into their margins. But I think the focus for 2022 will be how to deliver their brand experience, the respective restaurant's brand experience to the consumer in a remote way. I think that's one. I've also seen some of my members working on ready-to-eat meals, which I find it exciting because I think that if these restaurants are able to to reach a critical mass via entries into grocers or conveniences or even like a global e-commerce platform, the impact could be extremely significant. So that's my outlook for 2022.
All right, Jeremy, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Jeremy Lim, Vice President of the Persatuan Pemilik Restaurant and Bistro, giving us an overview of how the F&B industry is coping in this new year and what his outlook is. He needs portobello mushrooms, so if you have any leads, you may want to get in touch with him.
Yeah, but I think he gave some very interesting viewpoints with regards to this industry. Manpower shortage is an issue. Yes, you can raise people's pay, but there's a reluctance for people to get back into the industry after many rounds of lockdown. They're worried about their jobs, right? And whether there's any security to it. And of course, restaurants, margins are still very tight. I don't know whether 2022 will be the year where they actually start making back some of the money that they lost over the last 2 years.
He's articulating cost challenges. I wonder how the top line revenue will be like next year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.